Appreciate another opportunity to be here at Monarch Springs. Glad for everyone who's here with us. I hope you're encouraged today. We serve a big God. We serve a loving God. And the little burden the Lord laid on my heart this afternoon is one that I trust will be of encouragement to you. I was just thinking as we got up from prayer and asked for a special song. The song, I believe it's 107. No, that's not the one. Give me just a moment. I want to find the song. It says, "In your pathway have you found some cruel thorns." It's 176, I believe. Jesus knows. 176, yes, sir. "In your pathway have you found some cruel thorns. Jesus bore them on his brow, and he knows. Does the world look down upon you with its frowns? All the world forsook your Lord, and he knows." Have your friends forsaken, spurned you from their door? So they did your blessed Lord, and he knows. Is there none to cheer and comfort anymore? Jesus bore the cross alone, and he knows. This afternoon, my little burden is the silence of God. How many times have you had a burden on your heart, and you've prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed some more? And you prayed so many times, and you prayed until you just didn't know any more words to say. And about all you could do is get down before the Lord with the same burden and say, "Lord, here I am again, and I don't even know what words to say. But here I am. I've said everything that I know to say about the circumstance, the situation." I've been there. Get down on your face before the Lord, and the words won't come. It's all been said. And I just lie there before the Lord sometimes, and there is a language that only the Lord knows, that the Holy Spirit translates from our being and our broken and contrite spirit before the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit knows how to translate those sighings to the Lord. Yes. We also have a song in our hymnal that says that he can hear the stifled sighings of the dumb heart's agony. Yes. I find a lot of comfort in that. Yes. I find a lot of comfort in knowing that there is a God and there is a Holy Spirit that is able to know and understand the depth of my burden when I can't even express it myself. And I know maybe I'm the only one in this audience that's been in this situation, but I'm seeing nodding of your head, so that's telling me that you relate to what I'm saying here this afternoon. You've had a loved one on your heart, and you've seen the hand of affliction come. And you pray for healing, but nothing seems to change. And you pray again for healing. There's anointing. There's obedience to the Word of God. And you so desire there to be a change. You so desire that something would be different. You so desire for yourself, because it's someone very dear to you, and for them, because they're suffering. And you know that they want to be released from that. And we tarry before the Lord, and we don't see a change. Are you discouraged today? When you find yourself in that place, when you find yourself in that circumstance of life, are you discouraged about it? It's easy to get discouraged about something like that. It's easy to see the hand of affliction. It's easy to see a soul that's maybe bound in a condition, and you so desperately want to see them to have release from it. and you want to see them be able to fly and soar above the circumstances that they're in. And we wonder sometimes, why can't there be, Lord? Maybe even in my own circumstance. I've got something on my own heart, my own mind, that I've prayed for. You've prayed for yourself. And you've earnestly sought the Lord about it. And you wait, and you really don't see much change in the circumstance. Well, I've been there. I've been there, and I've thought about it. I've prayed about that. Prayed about not knowing what to say. Prayed about not knowing what to do. Lord, is there something wrong with me? I always want to know, Lord, is it I? Is there something here? Am I missing something before you, Lord? Is there something in my own heart and life that needs to be addressed and adjusted, amended somewhere along the way? Am I not in a place where I can hear that still small voice? You been there? I see you nodding your heads. I've been there. And I think that's the appropriate place to be, is to say, Lord, is it me? Is there something within me? Search me. Try me. Know me. Know everything about me, Lord. See if there's anything here that needs to be addressed in my life, because I'm desperate before you. I realize that my frailties and my weakness, I realize, Lord, that if you chose to, the very next breath that my body needs for existence, you could withhold that from me. And I would be powerless. I would be absolutely powerless to get that breath if you decided to withhold it from me. The silence of God. Turn with me to the 107th Psalm. We'll begin reading with the 8th verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, this is positive. This is what the Lord does. When we feel like we're walking in the driest places that life can have for us, folks, there is a God. There is a God in heaven. There is a God on the eternal throne. There is a God that is aware of everything that's going on in this world. He's aware of my stifled sighings. He's aware every time that I prostrate myself before Him. He's aware of that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Has it always been that way, folks? Is it always that way that you get down before the Lord and you don't really know the direction to take? Is it always that way? No, it's not. Many's the time we've got on our faces before the Lord and cried out before Him for mercy, for something that we needed, and He changed circumstances. Many's the time that those kind of things happen. Many is the time that we pray for someone who has affliction and they stand up and testify, God healed me. We heard just this afternoon of someone that said, the Lord healed, gave him a touch. We heard a brother say, I don't feel well, and I ask you to pray for me. We anticipate to find that later on that the Lord has touched that brother and he's feeling better. We do expect that. We anticipate it. The reason we anticipate that is because we have found that God is faithful, He is true, and He has proven Himself over and over and over again that He will fulfill His promise. We found that case. So when we find those times when maybe it's a little dry, maybe it's a little quiet, it's not time to fold our hands and fold our arms and just sit back. It's time to just trust in God. He is faithful. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We sing a song in one of our, in the hymnal. It says concerning the far off happy land. We have difficulties and distresses here in this life. We have problems that we deal with here. It says he would have that world seem brighter where alone is peace and rest. The Lord knows all the things that we have to deal with in life. Our Heavenly Father inhabits eternity. He dwells in eternity. He is the Father of lights. He dwells in the light. We mark time. We look at the clock. We watch the seconds tick by. We watch the minutes. The hands go around. We deal in time. God deals in eternity. We deal with the limitations that we have in these frail human bodies. God sees our frailty. He sees our soul. He sees the things that we need, and God knows what it takes to help a man get ready to make it inside of his heaven. For those things, we ought to praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. We ought to give thanks and praise to the God of all creation because he knows me, he knows you, he knows what circumstances to lay in your path to help you make it inside of his heaven. He knows that besetting thing in your life. He knows that thing that causes you to stumble. He knows those things that you dwell on in your mind, and he knows how to cause circumstances in your life to cause the dross to come to the surface so he can skim it off. God is good. I hope you're encouraged today. If you find yourself today in a battle, if you find yourself in an affliction, if you find yourself dealing with circumstances in life that are difficult, don't be discouraged and walk around with your head hanging down. Stand up. Thank God for everything that we have in this life. We thank him for the good times. We thank him for the bad times. I have a saying I tell the folks at home, every day is a good day. Some days are better than others. But every day is a good day. Every day that God has given me, it's a good day. There's something in that day that I can find that God has blessed me. If he has given me the ability to rise from my bed in a day, I thank God for it. If he has helped me to have a night of rest and my body wakes in the morning and I hear the sounds of the birds outside, God has been good to me. I might not be able to rise from my bed this day, but if I hear the sounds of the birds outside and realize that my Heavenly Father has caused that sun to rise and to cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, my God is great. My God is good. And he is there to help me. The silence of God. So you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed. And you wonder, Lord, why isn't there an answer? Now, how many times have you really just distressed? We just distress ourselves trying to figure out why it's so silent. Have you ever been there? Have you ever just, you sit back and you think, Lord, it's quiet. I don't understand why you're not answering. Have we ever just sat down and just really stressed ourselves out, as the saying is, trying to figure out, trying to decipher God's silence? I've done that too. Lord, it's quiet and I don't know why. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'll tell you what I have learned. I have learned that you can't outthink God. I have learned that he knows best. I have learned that whenever I find myself in those places, that it's best just to sit back and say, Lord, all this has to be committed to your hands. I can't figure it out. I don't understand it. I don't know why it's this way. I know, Lord, as I read in the scriptures, when the Lord gave Moses' commandment concerning the instructions of the tabernacle and the articles there, he gave instructions about the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. And he told Moses how to build it and how to arrange it. And he told him to make two cherubims. And the cherubim, the Hebrew word kirab, like to or like as, representatives of God. And they were to have their wings touching overhead of the mercy seat. And the tips of their wings out to the edges of the most holy place. They were surrounding, they were covering the mercy seat. And he told Moses, he said, I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. I will commune. This is, oh, God is above. I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. Where we need to be is on the mercy seat. Place ourselves at the mercy of our Heavenly Father. Be there in the place where He can allow those things to come my way. And He said, I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. Folks, there is not a thing. If you're living for the Lord today, if you have given your heart to God today, if you have endeavored to walk in the light of God, in His holy righteousness, if you have endeavored to walk a sanctified, Holy Spirit-filled life, if you have made it your aim and purpose that I want to please my Lord, there is not one thing that comes your way except God has allowed it to pass from heaven through the cherubims to the man on the mercy seat. Not one thing. Not one thing that happens in my life just happens because of happenstance. There is a God that's involved. Now, we're going to have our share of troubles. As children of God, as children of the Most High, we're going to deal with grief. We're going to deal with disappointment, heartache, and separation. But it's so much better to have one that I can cry my tears to. When not another person in this world understands the grief in my heart, and I can pour my heart out to the Lord, I can walk around in the fields, I can walk up and down the sidewalks, I can go to my room in the darkness and quietness of my closet and prostrate myself before Him, and He knows. He knows. He's the one that's able to give comfort. Now, some of you who are musicians understand a whole lot more about this than I do. But I understand a little bit about it. I love to sing. I like music. That has to be tempered by the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But I like music. I like listening to singing. I like listening to voices that have been trained in quartet music, that they're able to sing their parts and they do it well. I like listening to that. If I listen to music where there's a group of people singing and the timing is off and people are singing over each other, that's just hard for me to enjoy. I'll tell you why. When you've got so much noise that there's not any distinction between the notes, when we look at these songbooks, you've got eighth notes, quarter notes, dotted half notes. You've got whole notes. You've got dotted eighth notes. You've got sixteenths. There's a reason there's a time given to each one of those notes. There's a time given to those because that's the amount of time you're supposed to hold that note. But if you hold that eighth note for a whole note, you've messed up the timing in it. And you miss the place of silence between the notes. The silence between the notes gives the distinction in the harmony and the timing. So is it any wonder that our God allows there to be some silence in our lives so that we can really be in harmony with Him and one another? That's a little small thought. I read a book, reading a book in the process of it, almost finished. The author, at the end of each chapter, the beginning and the end of each chapter, has a very short poem. And it's very thought-provoking. One of those little poems is words of someone who was in a concentration camp, Nazi Germany concentration camp. And these are the words that were scrawled on that wall. Now, folks, there have been people in this world who have suffered some awful persecutions. There are children of God right now in this world who are suffering under the hand of awful persecution. And they're doing it because they will not renounce their belief and faith in God. Thank God. I pray for them. I hope I never have to have that. I hope we never experience that. But we pray for them. But these are the words that were scrawled. And I've caught that one little word there scrawled, scratched out on the wall. I don't know what they used, if they used a rock. I don't know if they had a piece of a metal or nail or whatever it was that they used to scrawl these words on the wall. Remember the circumstance in the concentration camp. I believe in the sun, even though it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when it isn't shown. I believe in God, even when He does not speak. Now you think of a person in the circumstance of a concentration camp, starvation, maybe torture. Anyone who's been in that situation, how many times do you think they pray, God, have mercy on me. Help me out of this place, Lord. Here I am in this awful place, and it's nothing good for me to look for. I need some help, Lord. I would be so glad if you would give me the release and let me out of here. And might spend 4 or 5 years in a place like that, and every day is the same routine over and over and over again. Maybe those footsteps coming down that hallway, I cringe because I think, oh, here it comes again. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Help me again today, Lord. But I believe in Him, even when He doesn't speak. I believe in the sun, even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when it isn't shown. Folks, we've got to have something deeper in our lives to hold on to than the things that we can see and feel. We've got to have something deeper in our lives that will carry us through the darkest circumstances of life when we can't see an end to it. If I give up my hope, if I just give up and say, all is lost, there's no hope for me, woe is me, and I hang my head, what a miserable place I will be in for sure then. Only with God is there hope in this life. Only with God. The 22nd Psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me in the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, thou art holy. Book of Matthew, 4th chapter. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, there was a space of time, and I don't understand it, of 400 years between the last of the prophets and the beginning of the New Testament. A space of 400 years. Surely there were people who were living for the Lord during that space of time. Surely there were people who were serving the Lord during that space of time. I read about the Maccabees and their revolts and how they tried to gain their independence from Rome. I read about those kind of things, and surely there were people 400 years. Lord, why was there a space of 400 years where you didn't speak? Why was that? Why did that happen? Why was it, Lord, way back there, as we read in the book of Genesis, where we find that Abraham was so concerned about his people, and we find the place there where there was a space of 400 years that the Israelites were in bondage. Why was that, Lord? Do we understand it all? Can we see the reasons behind it all? Of course we realize that with Abraham and his children, God was providing, God was preparing a time when He would make a great nation. All that time they were down in the land of Egypt, taken captives down that land of Egypt, slaves, whips on their backs. Many times, I'm sure, they cried out for the Lord to have mercy on them. Their descendants, their generation after generation, told the story of God. There is a God. Do we believe there's a God? Here comes the whip again. We believe there's a God. You tell me there's a God. Here comes the whip again. We've been told there's a God. We've been told these stories over and over again that there is a God. And here comes Pharaoh saying, I'm not going to get your straw for you anymore. You get your own straw. But your quota of bricks is the same. Day after day, hour after hour, same thing. But there's a God. There's a God. I believe that the Lord is more interested in us learning how to serve Him by faith than trying to spend so much time understanding the silence of God. That He uses those spaces of silence to help us to make a decision. I either abandon my faith, I either turn my back on it all, or I learn to trust. I learn to believe in the Son even when I don't see it. I learn to believe in love even when it isn't shown. And I learn to believe that there is a God, even though I haven't heard Him speak. Even in those places where you are earnest before the Lord and you prostrate yourself before Him and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and there's no more words to say. Is there still a God? Absolutely, there's still a God. Because I've made a decision, Lord, I am going to serve You. I am going to trust You. I'm going to believe in You, even though I don't hear Your voice. If you are in a battle today, and it's been a long battle, if you are in a siege today, and it's been a long siege, if you are involved in something today that's been a long time and you squirm under it and you want out of it, I want to encourage you today to hold fast. The Lord wants to find out. He's not a cruel taskmaster, but He inhabits eternity. He wants to find out, folks, if we have enough of our belief and trust in Him to wait for Him even though He doesn't send the loaves and the fishes. If all we look for from the Lord is the loaves and the fishes, we're going to be very lazy. Weak. We're going to atrophy. We're not going to have the ability to carry on. The Lord wants us to exercise. Exercise our faith and belief and trust in Him even when we don't hear that voice. Now, concerning that 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testaments, God broke that silence. And how did He break it? With the announcement of Jesus' birth. The hope of all creation. 400 years of silence, I can't tell you I understand it all. But when God broke that silence, folks, my mind goes so, there's so many different directions my mind goes at this point. All the way back to the beginning of the book of Genesis. The two cherubims standing at the, guarding the way of the tree of life. Flaming sword turning every which way. Book of Revelations, we can have access again, right to the tree of life. Oh, I tell you, folks, when the time came for the gospel message to be introduced to humanity, God had it right. He knew what He was doing. He did. Everything was timed just the right way. He knew how to handle it. He knew how to arrange it. He knew how to order it. In our circumstances of life, He knows how to order it. He knows what our load is. The Scripture says to us, there will not be more put on us than we're able to bear. How many times have you questioned that? How many times have you questioned that? Lord, you said that You wouldn't put more on me than I can bear, but I'm close. I'm close. I've been there. Lord, it's close. At least I think it is. At least I think it is. Oh, God, give more grace. Give me more strength. Give me the grace to face this day, this hour, this moment, Lord. Give me the grace. Give me the courage. If I can look back and see that there were those who were willing to spend their days, months, weeks, years in that concentration camp and can scrawl out on that wall, "I believe in love." Oh, I believe in love even when it isn't shown. And every day that comes by, I get treated more and more cruelly. But I still believe in love. Even though it's not shown, I believe in love. I must believe in it, folks. I must have something to believe in this life. I must have something that I can hold to even when I don't see it. I must believe that it still exists or I'll lose all hope. I must believe in God even when I don't hear or see Him working. I must believe in Him to hold on to my hope, because I have a hope of making heaven one day. And I know that you do too. And I know, and you know, that the only way we're going to make it is to be faithful, true and faithful to the Lord. And we must believe in Him. All right. So in the fullness of time, when it was right, God broke that 400-year silence. And today, we are the beneficiaries of the plan of salvation. If you are saved today, you are the beneficiary of God breaking that 400 years of silence, and He granted to us the opportunity for salvation. There ought to be some rejoicing for that. That little man inside of us, everyone, ought to be moving right now because God offered salvation to me. And if I've accepted His plan of salvation, I have something to hold on to. Now, there's no question there's going to be some difficulties in life. You're going to face some hurtful things. You're going to face some things that hurt, and they hurt bad. But if you have God, if you have God in you, if you have that relationship that you can depend upon, oh, folks. Now, here's what we can do. It's been quiet a long time. You've wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. So we can say, "Lord, in the fullness of time, You broke the silence of 400 years. Would You please break that silence for me?" Would You do that for me, Lord? Would You please break that silence for me? But I'm going to trust You. You know, I think right there is one of the keys. That He wants me to reach that place where, "Lord, all right, I'll accept it, Lord. I've wrestled with it. I've struggled with it. But I accept it, Lord. I'm going to trust You regardless. I'm going to believe in You if I never hear You speak again. I'm going to believe that You are God. I'm going to believe in Your Son, Jesus. I'm going to believe in Your plan of salvation. I'm going to believe in everything that You have offered to humanity. I'm going to embrace that, and I'm going to believe it if I never hear You speak again." And I believe right there we're on the threshold of the blessings of the Lord. Right there we're on the threshold of stepping over where the Lord wants to shower blessings upon our heart and life, because all, He says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And He is working on us, everyone, folks. He's refining, He's purging, He's allowing circumstances of life to come our way. He wants us to be in heaven just as bad as, or work more. He wants us to be there with Him even more than we can imagine that we want to be there. He sent His best. He sent His absolute best so we could have it. So I'll close with this one more little poem. Very brief. In a whisper of light, you landed in a manger. I'm living for the day You will land in me. Conception. In my own heart. In my own life. In a whisper of light, You landed in a manger. I'm living for that day You land in me, where I can have conception in my own life of the Son of God taking shape inside of me. Oh, folks, that's what the Lord wants for us, everyone. Today, if you're not in that place, if you don't have God in your heart, I want you to be encouraged to pray that our very Savior that landed in that manger, that ended, that was born, placed in that manger, God's providence, God's plan, cause it to be so, that we pray that He would land in us. that He would be in us. He would find lodging in us. If you don't have the Lord in your heart, and you're walking in a cold, dark, silent, empty world, I want you to know that there is a God that loves you, cares about everything in your life, and He wants to be there to give you the peace, the comfort, the security. What did Jesus say? He said, "Peace I leave with you." Then He said, "My peace. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. There is a God." Do we know, does someone have that song, "There is a God, He is alive"? If not, we just have another number, but I appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. Be encouraged to serve the Lord.
We're all honest. We've been through some of the times, Brother Michael. Is this on? Yes. We've been through some of those times Brother Michael's talking about. We're not always going to feel like that everything's going our way. I've heard people claim that this Christian life is just victory all the time, and I believe it is victory all the time, but they portray it as being just solid happiness every day. I want to tell you, it's not that way. There's peace in your soul every day now. But you're not always going to feel the emotion of just being overjoyed, bubbling up, happy every day. But guess what? Those out there in the world, they don't have happiness every day either. We live in this life. Now, the Lord, I want us to get a hold of something Brother Michael told us a while ago, earlier in the message. He said something about that God knows you and He knows how to get you to heaven. Amen. There was the sister I requested prayer for earlier, Sister Peggy Wittenborn from our home congregation. She grew up being a Jehovah's Witness. And for years came to services, and she came to the point, she said, "I realized that what I was raised with wasn't right, and this is truth," but she couldn't ever really give herself to it. About a little over a year ago, she came to the altar and just gave it all to the Lord. And she had smoked for a number of years too. And she quit that, the Lord blessed her, and she was able to get rid of that habit. But then there was this emotional, she had what we term a nervous breakdown. And I saw this happening, and I kept saying, "Lord, she's a baby. Lord, she doesn't need that." And you know what the Lord told me? He said, "Yes, she's my baby. And I love her more than you do." In my heart, I was saying, "Lord, she can't handle this." And He said, "I know her better than you do. I know how to take her to heaven." Folks, we've got to trust the Lord. The Lord does know you. And the Lord does love you. And the Lord does know how to get you to heaven, because, folks, that's the goal. We're not meant to live here the rest of our life. We're strangers and pilgrims. And the Lord knows how to develop in you His image. He knows how to hunt out the dross and bring it to the surface and get rid of it. And He does love you more than what you even love yourself. Folks, we serve a wonderful God who's greater than what you can perceive, who's able to sit as a refiner and a purger. And He does that when we give ourselves to Him. He does. And folks, I want to tell you something else too. I know sometimes in the depths of our time of feeling lonely or feeling like everything's going wrong and all our reverses of life, the devil's quick to come up there and say, "Well, you wasn't like this when you wasn't serving Him." He'll say, "Just look around and you'll see other people out there in the world. They're doing much better than what you're doing." That's what the devil will try to tell us. Was it David? I forget where it was. He said, "My feet had well nigh slipped. I got to looking at those around me doing well, spreading themselves like a green bay tree. Everything was going real good for them, it seemed like, until I went into your sanctuary and I saw their end. Folks, you're not having bad times just because you serve the Lord. But the Lord knows how to use your bad times to bring out the gold in your life. He loves you. And another reason why sometimes He allows bad things to come in the hearts of those who aren't following Him is because He hopes they'll wake up too. It's really God trying to help people. He loves us. And He knows how to refine. And this is another reason why I fully believe that we should trust the Lord with every part of our life, including illnesses in our life. Because I believe if we take ourselves out of His hand, we rob Him of one of the tools, one of the precious tools that He uses to develop in us His holiness. This is the basis of why I trust Him in that. It's not because I want to be bullheaded and not go to doctors. If that's the reason, you've done missed the reason. But there is a God who loves you and wants to develop righteousness in our heart. Not just righteousness. Let me go a little bit deeper. He wants to develop a sweet relationship with you. He wants to hold you on His lap, put His arms around you, and make you feel secure and let you know that when you go out and face the world in all its bitter hardness, you can go out there and face it knowing I've got a Father that's holding me right now because I've had some times with Him. You can't have that develop sometimes any other way except through this avenue. I hope you understood what I just said. Sometimes that can't be developed any other way except through hardness. When God is silent, He's not blind. He's still watching. And He knows you better than not you. I just want to say, I know I'm saying it too many words, but I want to say amen to what I heard. Amen, amen. It's true.